Welcome to the Minivade Gang Podcast, episode 162. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm here with Tim Elliott at the Overnight Website Challenge.
Yes, I've been here since 7:30.
Excellent. Graham Thickens.
I've been here since 11.
And Phil Wilson.
I just got here.
It's now 11:30. And the Overnight Website Challenge is everybody gets a nonprofit to build a site for. And we're going to walk out where it's a little quieter, and we're actually going to talk to Tim Elliott's team's nonprofit, the director, and hear some more about that. So let's go outside. All right, so I'd like to introduce the nonprofit that Tim's team is going to be building, Sherilyn Howes, with the Youth Performance Company. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but it's early.
Yeah, just wait though, right? And tell us a little bit, if you could, about the Youth Performance Company and who did the website before and what your expectations are and things of that nature.
Youth Performance Company has been around for 23 years. We are a theater company that works primarily with teens. And we have Don't Tell the Kids, but essentially what we're teaching them is leadership and life skills, but we're teaching it to them through the arts and through theater, which is their passion. So it's a great place. Nobody knows about us. We're a really great secret of the Twin Cities. And we're hoping that this new website will really help us get our name out there in a stronger way. We do have a website that looks kind of pretty, but it's not user friendly, and it's certainly not administrator friendly, because we're artists, not nerds.
Geeks.
So we're really looking forward to something that we can change and can keep modern and post it so that our content is keeping up with our programming and the kids that we work with.
So teens only, doggone it. I was hoping that maybe, when I heard Youth Performance Company, I thought, well, maybe my interpretive dance, my modern interpretive dance might be a possibility.
No, we have a benefit coming up. You could totally perform there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah,
People don't realize it, but Steve is wearing a tutu right now.
Yeah.
It's really
thanks,
great.
Graham. Yeah, thanks, Graham. And so when you talk about having the site be a little more administrative friendly, obviously that's, you know, being able to add and edit and modify content, things of that nature.
The unsexy part of the web.
Yeah. So is it just done by a single person?
Our education director and myself kind of take on all the updating, and it's platform or written in, or I don't even know the terminology. It's in Joomla right now, which is probably awesome if you're an IT person, but coming from the other side of it, it's been a nightmare for about 3 years now. So, yeah.
Well, and the other
somebody
thing, too.
Somebody finally said it. No.
Well, and you know what's funny, though, is that when you look at open source content management projects, it's definitely WordPress number one, Drupal a slight distance, distant number two, and then Joomla's not doing too well right now. So
it looks pretty, but updating it has been a challenge for us.
Yeah. So Tim, the name of your team is?
Full Court WordPress. So this is the third year we've done it, but the second year under that name.
Okay.
Because we were Full Court Press the first year.
Oh,
so
that's right.
You put the word back into it.
Well, we were talking about
the word.
Well, we were talking about this beforehand, and we're going to geek out for a minute. Excuse me, Sherilyn.
Right.
Watch out, yeah.
But you were talking about, I was asking, because I've been thinking about this, about the bandwidth use. You got all these teams, all these computers, all this stuff going on, and the Wi-Fi connection can't handle everything. If everyone was building everything and publishing it in the cloud, so how do you guys have this set up, and what are you doing this year that might be different than years past?
So the Nerdery has given us wired access to the university network, and we all have our own hub. We've got our own Wi-Fi out of that, because the Wi-Fi here works, but it's not as good as we'd like it to be. But we're all wired into a 90-plus megabit downlink.
Oh, nice.
And the uplink speed is also very high. So I think from a bandwidth perspective, we're really good. But you're right, we're all very heavy bandwidth users. So one of the things we learned in the past years is we really need to be more organized around project management and around revision control. So last year, the backend guys used Git. This year, the entire team is using Git. And instead of having two instances of WordPress, one for staging and one for production, we have, all of us have our own. So there's 10 instances running on our own computers. And then we have three other ones. So we have one for staging where the content team is working on, and some of the backend team is also doing some work. We have a QA environment so that once we commit code to the system, we're able to take it through, and we have a QA person that will go through and QA the whole site. And then we have a production environment. At the end of this, we hope to be able to FTP everything up to their domain, and when we present at the end of the challenge, have actually a working website on the internet.
Oh, that'd be great. Because so, I think like last year, you and actually several other teams, you had to put finishing touches on, and it took a little while to get the thing live.
Yeah, every year we've done this, we've had a live site that's looked good, but we've always had some loose ends at the end. And the nonprofits that we had the first 2 years, they didn't actually want their site on the internet right away. They wanted to you know, prepare people for it. Yeah. But the Youth Performance Company, they have an open domain right now, so we're going to move it from a .com to a .org. So we're able to actually have the site, once it's complete, live on the internet. So that's really exciting.
So that's why the guys were actually setting up the web host now with and setting up the DNS, so it'll propagate and be ready when you're ready to FTP. That's a great idea.
Yep. So once we're done and the site's been approved, we'll put it up on the internet and go. But Git makes it really easy to do that. So all we'll do is just pull from Git all of the files, everything, and also migrate all the database and everything. Wow. So from a migration standpoint, it's going to be really easy. But one of the challenges that we have this year is that they have two CMSs that we're migrating from. So they have Joomla, we talked about, as their main website, but we also have a Blogger blog that we're also bringing in and integrating with the WordPress site.
Yeah.
So we'll do two separate integrations, clean all that stuff up, and then we'll also clean up and modify some of the content too.
And for those that don't know, it always sounds like it's magic, where you can, from Blogger, you can export and then you can import it into WordPress. Hey, life is good, except for the fact the images don't come over. Now, there are programmatic ways to make that happen, but often it's a lot easier just to go ahead and move the images manually and re-import them.
You went through the TypePad to WordPress migration, which was a nightmare, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, it was a nightmare because I had 980 posts at the time. And so that meant, you know, probably 1,500 images.
Problems he's had with Comcast.
Well, Comcast probably isn't happy. I've not gotten the nasty note yet, but, you know, they have a 250 gig cap.
You're over it?
I was 324 last month. So
all right. We'll
I'm waiting for the, waiting for the, yeah, yeah.
It's that extensive porn collection.
No. Don't, yeah, right.
It's the interpretive dance.
It's the interpretive dance videos.
That's what he does. That's all those videos.
That's right. So are you now doing new content for this live site, or are they just going to harvest everything that you already have?
We did create a bunch of new content. We tried to come in with too much, so that then we could be told, no, back away from that. So far, I haven't heard no, though, so I'm very excited.
Okay.
But yeah, we prepared a lot.
Wait until about 2 in the morning. You're going to hear no.
I'm not sure that I'll be hearing anything at 2 o'clock in the morning, but yeah, our plan was to be over-prepared, and so we did create a bunch of new content.
Yeah, great.
Sherilyn, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you here with other members of your team?
There have been other people here. Right now, I'm alone.
Okay.
And we have a bunch kind of floating through throughout the day.
Yeah, you need to when it's 24 hours, I guess.
Yes. Bringing treats, don't tell the team.
One of the rules that the nursery has is that the nonprofit has to have one person here continuously for the entire challenge.
Yes.
And, of course, all of us have to be here for the whole time, too.
They have to have shifts. So you're the one that has to stay?
Yes.
You drew the short straw.
Oh. Or I'm the lucky one.
Someone does have to be here for the whole 24. Oh, I thought you meant they could do shifts.
Oh, no.
The second person can go in shifts, so they're bringing in people for, you know, 4 8 hours, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but no, I'm here for the duration.
What ages do you deal with?
Our classes are open to anyone, kindergarten through high school.
Oh.
But our main stage performances are mostly teens. 9 to 21 is what we say, so we have a lot of college kids that stick around and do shows, but primarily high school students.
And is it theater, dance, and any other?
Theater, dance, and vocal performance.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Will there be any performances during the course of the overnight website challenge?
No, but I'm feeling like I should call the kids and have them come and do something.
Song during one of the
Or I can come
breaks.
Back.
Well, that's true.
You could do your interpretive
dance.
To whatever song they're singing.
There you go. Yeah.
I suppose that most of these kids don't have a whole lot of this available in their schools. Would that be a fair assumption?
The arts budget has really been chopped in the schools.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Even in the high schools.
Yes.
Let alone the middle schools or the grade schools.
And we've really seen that in two ways. One with kids really needing to find a place where they can be themselves authentically, and also with a lack of interest. And then schools' budgets for field trips have also been really hampered, and so there's just not a lot of live art for kids anymore, and that is something you have to learn when you're young, or you're not going to pick the theater when you're 25 and want to go do something.
Yeah. So. Well, of course, all this art stuff isn't that important because it's all about engineering. You know, the user interface stuff and the graphics and all that doesn't matter. None of that matters.
There's no creativity in any of that. No.
You don't need any of that.
No creativity in the internet at all.
No.
I was a pre-med major in my first half of college.
So where did it all go wrong?
Where went wrong? It went wrong at organic chemistry. That's when I said.
Yeah, that's the deal killer.
But the point I was going to make was I took theater in my sophomore year, and it was the best thing I ever did in college. And I had no idea what I was getting into, but it was so much fun, and I really think trains people for all kinds of activities in their later life. I mean, even in business, especially in business.
Yeah, theater does. It secretly teaches you a lot of things.
It does. It really.
Bedside banner. It would help a doctor be able to talk to people.
Yes.
And nothing like having that curtain go up and you have to go on stage and do something. And if you forget what you're supposed to do, you got to think on your feet. And so there's just a lot of skills that you don't realize that you're getting doing theater.
When it comes to the website and all that stuff, I mean, did you think about the fact that you're going to have all these teens and they're going to be walking around with smartphones and these things, and did that play into any of the guidance that you gave to Tim and crew?
Yes, we really want it to be optimized for mobile so that certain things will pop up. And so we right off the bat, you know, had to start over with our sitemap because we weren't thinking, we didn't know what that meant. We knew we wanted to say it, but we didn't know what that meant. So we're reformatting all of that and starting, you know, with those as our top priorities.
So, Tim, then does that mean that you guys are doing responsive design or are using a mobile plugin to do agent sensing or what?
We're going to write a custom responsive theme for the nonprofit. And part of the simplification of the navigation into a main nav and sub nav was that so when we condense it down to iPhone size, we can have large touch, you know, buttons essentially that the navigation turns into automatically. So we wanted to make sure that the three or four really top things that people would want to do with the site are, you know, front and center, and also will become these touch areas on the phone once it shows up there. So it's going to be good, I think. We've always used in past years mobile plugins, but I think more and more people are looking for preserving as much of the design as possible from the desktop experience in the mobile, and so that when it shows up on an iPad, you know, you're preserving as much of that look and feel as possible.
Right.
But also thinking about, okay, what from a navigation perspective, what should it look like? And from a usability perspective, adapt to it.
Great. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much.
Sherilyn.
Sherilyn.
Oh, I thought you were being funny. I thought you were going to do a little dance thing for me there.
Well, I could. I probably should now in payment for doing that.
If you just do it over, you can fix it in post. Don't
You're right. Well, I'll do it anyway.
I'll do it anyway. You have post-production? That's
I have post-production. I'll be doing this, this in post.
He's multi-talented.
No, but you know what? Fixing it in post sort of misses the point.
He is.
Because what if this was live?
It's not, though.
All right. So should we let her go and do her thing, and then we'll go through our other... items?
If you want to.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's not like she can go anywhere. We're kind of trapped in this hallway.
That's true. We are.
I can turn this off.
Inaccessible.
And then, all right. Well, we won't go too long because this is going to be a short show. But do you want to just go through then?
Well, just out of curiosity, Graham, you checked with
Mark Ballberg
from the Nerdery. How many teams this
18
year?
Teams this year, which I was shocked to hear.
I think it's the same as last year. Yeah.
Oh, that was last year. Okay, yeah. They can't accommodate them all in one room.
No, this is it.
Three rooms now.
Yeah. I found that they are at their limit.
Yeah. So there's 12 in this room. There's four in another room and two in another room.
Yep.
But there were 64 nonprofits that. Applied.
Oh, wow.
18 were selected.
Actually, 19 were not selected. Yeah. In the first
really?
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a nice little rejection. Please apply again next year. And I was heartbroken because that meant I had to redesign our website all on my own and teach myself how to do that. So I was in a really bad place for about a week. And then Mark called and he said, you know, are you sitting down? And I was like, who is this? This is not real. And then he let us know that a team had dropped out and we were awesome. Now going to be in. And that's the first time that's ever happened to them. And although I feel very bad for them for whatever reason that they dropped out, I'm feel incredibly lucky to be here and so thankful for this.
Yeah.
This is that's the most amazing.
What, just out of curiosity, Sherilyn, what does this represent to you as far as, obviously there's some cost savings involved.
Oh, huge.
So what kind of cost savings do you see this translating into for you?
Well, the estimate that the Nerdery gives is that it's about a $24,000 or $25,000 donation mm-hmm. within 24 hours, which is amazing. We can't spend $24 on our website, let alone $24,000. So we knew that we needed to make changes, obviously, so that it was our website was something we could continue to maintain. So I was going to have to take one of those lovely online courses in WordPress design and come up with it on my own and try and do that in addition to the 15 other jobs that I'm already doing. So for me personally, there's no way I could put a dollar amount on the donation, and to get it in 24 hours instead of having it be this long drawn out process is just amazing. I mean, we're thrilled to go live tomorrow. I mean,
there is a 5-minute install with WordPress, right, Tim?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Right.
So
we're
about
to do that actually.
Yeah.
So and then I always love that.
And then it's just coasting.
Yeah, exactly.
You pick a theme,
so
you throw some lorem ipsum
text
in there, and you're done.
Some lorem ipsum.
Right.
That's what I've read on the sites anyway. I just pick a theme and I go, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So, Steve, you're going to be entertained that I'm thinking of doing this Joomla migration through Drupal. Seriously. Because the tools are better going from Drupal to WordPress than they are going from Joomla to WordPress. So I may actually fire up a Drupal installation, import all of the Joomla assets into Drupal, and then take it back to WordPress.
Well, you know, that sounds really funny, but it's not, because I can't tell you how many times I've done that with media files, where you've brought in, like I've used to get those images out of Blogger or Typepad or whatever. The tools are better on Drupal to suck them out. And then once they're in Drupal, then you can get them back into WordPress. So that's not that
far off.
Yeah.
Good.
I think it's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to still try to do it directly. But the last time I did a Joomla site directly, it didn't work out very well. Luckily, it was kind of a small site, so I could cut and paste it. But this one is kind of a bit larger, so I'd like to try to bring in the pages and the posts into WordPress.
Well, and Connie, I'm kidding. Sherilyn.
Yes, George.
Julio. No, we know Julio. I can't use that. One of the things that's really amazing is because so many people want to preserve their search engine results and where their rankings are and so on, that there's this whole concept of redirects mm-hmm. for the URLs. And with dynamically driven sites, it gets even more and more complex. But it sounds like yours were in Joomla. That shouldn't be that much of a problem, right? And how long has the site been up now that you have currently?
It's about 4 years, 3-4 years that it's been up.
Okay.
And see, that would matter to us if we ever looked at that information. I mean, I know that it gathers it, but...
Okay.
So I'm good with importing or starting from scratch.
Well, you got to understand that Steve thinks it really turns chicks on when he talks Joomla, Drupal, and assets and things like that.
And of course, I never use the word chicks. It's always women. So.
Except during. during your interpretive dance?
Except that, yeah, no, exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. 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 Well, so let's...
I was going to ask another question. Yeah. Where is your... Do you have a facility or where are you located?
We've got a couple of different... We've got our offices and classes and rehearsals are on University Avenue, right in the heart of light rail construction right now by Channel 5.
St. Paul or Minneapolis?
We're just on the Minneapolis side.
Okay.
Literally on the border.
So near the university, kind
yep.
of.
Yep. Yep, about a mile from the university. And mm-hmm. we perform at the Howard Kahn Fine Arts Center, which is kind of between uptown and downtown in Minneapolis. It's not far from... about 8 blocks out of downtown up Nicollet, on Nicollet and Franklin.
Hmm. Nice. Cool. Great. Now we know.
Yeah. Now you can come to shows.
It will no longer be a...
And how do you get most of your funding over the years?
It's primarily through foundations.
It is.
Foundations and individual giving. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Targets are our number one supporter.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
General
Sherilyn,
Mills.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you want to go through these
sure. Well, what else is happening? I noticed Tim did post an app builder for you, so that you can tell us about this, Tim. That you found this little app
yeah,
builder.
Yeah, it's I saw it from a Fast Company article, and it's basically a new app builder, online app builder for iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone 7. And what I thought was interesting about it is, you know, I've tried all the other ones that are like this, and they're very simple. But this one, you start out, and literally within 5 minutes, you have a working app on your phone. Now, it's all you do is you check a few buttons on what you want, you put some feed information in, and your Twitter or whatever, and then it actually just sends you right to the phone, and you can install it at that point. At that point, though, they have a Mac or Windows program that then picks it up and you can take it further within some limitations, obviously. But you can actually put together a pretty good looking application in not very long time without ever touching any code. Mm-hmm. So I think from a usability standpoint, this is probably the best I've seen so far. And you know, Steve would like to do an app, but he doesn't want to learn how to do Objective-C or even some of these other kinds of app
can't imagine
builders.
Why. But.
Because you have to like touch the code and actually know how to program. This one, I think anyone can do it. So if you're a small business and you want an app, this is a really easy way to do it. It's $29 a month.
It's $29 a month, and then the $99 to be an Apple developer. For example, or to be able to do
that's included actually.
They're the
developer, and you get apps listed in all three stores. So I think that's kind of good because a lot of the other ones out there, they're either iPhone or they're Android. I haven't seen one for Windows 7 yet.
Stop paying $29 a month.
Then they go away.
Yeah,
but the other good thing about that is that you can continue to update them. Mm-hmm. So you can update them as a user, and then it goes through the app submission process.
See, that's one of the things that. I've been really, as you know, I've been really looking hard at all the iPad publishing tools and the iPhone tools and Android tools and all the things. And I know you were giving me crap about the coding thing, but that's not my forte. My forte is to go out and sell the deals and get the people with checkbooks excited and then get the stuff built and delivered. But I have wanted higher level tools for my own business, for our Trend Consulting business, for the home furnishings industry, because I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to actually publish stuff. The only downside with this, and you mentioned it, was the $29 a month. You have to continually pay them for them to drive your app. Otherwise, then it goes away.
You're basically leasing your own app. Yeah.
Right, versus this other one, and I'll send you the link, and I'll put the links in the show notes.
It's the battle of the app builders.
Well, there's another one that will have a WordPress plugin, so your hosted CMS that'll drive the app will be WordPress. So as a consequence, you'll be able to update a page on WordPress through the admin and then have it delivered automatically. Now, it won't cache it on the app for offline access, but it'll be accessible. And that way, you won't have to continually pay this fee. And that's been one of the issues, like with the Adobe Digital Publishing Suite. Even if you want to make a magazine or a publication of some kind, you pay them every single month. And we've looked at it as our business. We do these 7 trend albums a year. We'd pay Adobe about $25,000 a year for the tools and then for the server stuff. And then you'd buy the level of delivery and all that. It's like, hello, no, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not worth it. So,
well, but from an iPhone developer standpoint, you know, you have to you pay for your $100 a year for your, you know, to be a developer, and then to develop an app, it's between $5,000 and $10,000, from what I've seen.
Easy
to,
yeah,
to really do, you know. Yeah, I can do an Elance kind of a thing with some offshore, but it's still, you're going to still spend several $1,000s, and that's out of reach for a lot of companies, especially nonprofits. So something like this, I mean, you could probably justify the, you know, $200-$300 a year that it costs to actually host the app.
Well, and see, what I look at is I equate it with where publishing is today. So you can hire someone who knows Adobe InDesign, and they can do a layout of a catalog or a publication. You can send the digital files to a Heidelberg digital press. You can print, you know, 500 of them or 300 of them or however many you want. And you end up with this beautiful ink on paper, full color publication. And that's the mature level of where print publishing is today. I mean,
right, but you remember the way it was in the bad old days.
I do.
You know, when it was, you know, Wild West. And but there was horrible design. You had 14 fonts in every document. Yep. It just looked like hell.
Yes. And but where we need to be with app and mobile publishing is where we are today with digital publishing. It needs to move a heck of a lot faster than it did with print publishing, which took really a couple decades.
Right. Well, one of the things for this challenge that I was looking to recruit was an iPhone developer, just to have on hand in case. And we didn't end up with one. And as I met with all the 18 nonprofits last week, it was clear that none of them really had a need for a dedicated app, but they all wanted to a certain degree a mobile experience. So I think that for a lot of people, just responsive themes can probably handle most of it. And if you really need to have an app to do something locally on the phone, then you probably need to invest the bucks to actually get it you know, coded for you.
Right.
But I'm encouraged that we're seeing some of this PageMaker-like apps for mobile.
Yeah, and as am I.
And we'll constantly watch them, and I'm sure they'll get better. So.
Well, and the beautiful thing about these is that organizations will get in the game with these and then say, this is horrible compared to our competitors. Let's go hire a Do app or a CodeMorphic, and let's build a real app.
Yeah. Speaking of Do app, I asked my friend Dave Barillo, VP of Development at Do app, about these cross-platform tools, and he gave me some very insightful comments. He said, first of all, there's a flood of these on the market. They're not new. They've been out there for a while. This might be the first one that's going across three platforms, right?
Yeah.
But as Dave said, you know, they're valuable in certain situations, but the way he puts it is, if you're satisfied with mediocrity and only need the basic stuff, it's fairly generic.
Gee, I can't imagine a developer would tell you that.
Then, well, but if you want high quality, top of the line, you know, unique solutions, obviously these aren't going to be, you're not going to be doing fancy games or anything. But he really thinks that where things are going is that those wanting multi-device, generic, non-specialized solutions will move to HTML5. So he doesn't think that these kinds of solutions will ever go beyond single digit sort of adoption, you know. But, when you need high-end, custom, specialized kind of stuff requiring native functions or offline usage, you know, then they aren't gonna cut it. So it is more for the simple solutions.
Almost like mobile brochureware, if you will, or you're doing an event and you want to have an agenda on there. Yeah. But even though you did with Mobile March, you did a nice agenda that you used the WP Touch plugin for WordPress.
Just the WP Touch
plugin. Yeah, 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 and that worked great. Yeah.
Well, so just briefly from headlines locally, Best Buy had a nice little headline. There's one of the nice things people are saying about Best Buy is they've sold iPhones as Apple has sold.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, actually, quite frankly. I always thought that, you know, between AT&T and Apple, That was the majority of the sales for iPhone, and clearly AT&T is selling a lot of them, but Verizon is selling a bunch, and Best Buy is selling just about as many as they sell in the Apple Store. So it's, you know, go Best Buy for that.
Is it enough, though?
AT&T and Verizon together sell well more than half, though, and I think Apple stores were 50, or Apple stores and Apple.com sold 15% and Best Buy around 13%.
But that just tells you that there's a lot more points of sale for the AT&T and Verizon, and that people going into those stores are thinking about buying a phone rather than when you go to a Best Buy, you're not necessarily in the market to buy an iPhone.
But I think
you made, though.
I think it's good news for Best Buy, and it makes me wonder, are they going to expand the number of stores within a store, Apple stores within their stores? Yeah. Or can they?
Are those mobile stores?
There was a headline a few months back that you know, they're expanding, Apple is expanding through Target and with Best Buy.
So Apple will let them have more of these within their
stores. They've got to pay that dividend to you guys.
But it's within Apple's
McDonald's, baby.
It's within Apple's interest to do that, because I think, you know, if you drive up to Duluth, they don't have an Apple store, right? So, but they have plenty of Best Buys up there. Yeah. So if you're in Brainerd or Duluth and want to buy an iPhone, you can just go to your local Best Buy.
Yep.
You know?
Well, and I wonder if they're going to expand the square footage that they devote to Apple stores within Best Buy. Maybe
very
they should.
Possible.
And there's going to be room.
It's in both.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's in both sides' interest to do that too.
Yep. Yep.
It's a volume game at this point.
So let's wrap up from our mobile site here, from our visit to
upcoming events.
Wow, did you upgrade your iPad there, Phil?
No, why?
Oh, okay. The screen looks
you
good.
You still got one of those twos?
He's got one of those bogus twos.
It looks good from a distance.
Well, did you see the comic about how to let people know that you have an iPad 3? You know, when you get it out,
the 3. No, I'm just perfectly happy with my 2. I don't know.
Well,
I know
Steve
migrated from a 1, so.
Well, from a 1 to a 3 was unbelievable in comparison.
And there's I'm
pulling out my 3.
Oh, I'm very nice.
If I had a 2, I probably wouldn't have bought a 3 for sure.
No, I might not have either.
And that's why...
You're justified there.
That's why when I went to the iPhone 4S, it was not that big of a deal from the 4. But if I'd gone from a 3GS to a 4S, it would have been like, oh my God.
My Android's just fine right now. My kids now, you guys will be happy to know my kids are now iPhone users. So.
Ah.
The adults in the house, though...
They're all on Android still, right?
Android. So.
Well, upcoming...
You got Jamf software?
Got Jamf software, everything Apple managed event on March 28th. For those that don't know Jamf, J-A-M-F, they're on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis, and they have some of the best enterprise-class tools for managing Macs and iOS devices. I don't know if they do Android. But they're second to none. I mean, they are the leader in the space. And this is a big deal now that more and more organizations are rolling out mass quantities of these devices to their employees. And they want to be able to manage them. Minibar on April 7th. Now, I just got, I don't know how many invites are left, but the
there's a night before, gathering before Minibar.
We're all over that.
Minibar Eve.
And
Vicks.
When I looked yesterday, there were 260. I would imagine there's not now. So
it's probably a zero.
Probably a zero again. Mini WebCom is set for April 16th and 17th.
At this same facility where the Continuing Education Conference Center on the St. Paul campus.
Still have all the chairs back in, though.
Probably so.
Yeah. We're in the hallway with all the chairs here.
And then the MHTA Spring Conference. You know, it gets more and more it gets more T every time we get there.
That's
so,
right.
A lot more technical. So, well,
I don't know about higher, but it's definitely more technical.
Yes. Exactly. So that happens. And then the Walker Art Center has the I.O. Festival, which comes up in June, the 5th through the 8th. We're headed for the Walker this afternoon, so as a matter of fact.
So, Sherilyn, just out of curiosity, do you know about that festival, the I.O. Festival at the Walker?
I do not know about the I.O. I did know about the mini bar.
There you go.
But, you know, anything with the word bar in it.
Spoken like a... true theater person. Bar,
I think I might do it on a little secret. But yeah, no, I hadn't. I'll have to check that out.
So
yeah.
What do you, have you got any upcoming productions since we're talking about upcoming events?
We've actually got a performance on Friday night on March 30th at our space on University Avenue that our Young Artists Council is doing. That's our youth leadership board, and they also produce their own shows, 100% staffed and performed by teens. And that will be Cabaret, A Night Where Anything Goes. And they'll be singing and performing opposite of their stereotype. So you might have a 18-year-old boy singing Tomorrow from Annie or something like that. So they can just pick a song they've always wanted to sing and do it regardless that they'd never be cast as.
Yeah,
with
that's
that title,
fun.
I assumed it was like Bob Fosse style production singing Cole Porter songs.
Well, you know, there might be some of that in there.
Wow.
Anything goes.
New director, Tim Ellis.
Musical theater over here.
A little
Bob
Fosse over there. I mean, wow.
Well, Cabaret, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He made a name for himself.
You know, you kind of look like Liza Minnelli. Or
a certain light.
A certain light.
Bad light.
Actually, Joel Grey.
The sequins on the tutu.
It is.
Yeah. That's right.
Good thing with this is audio only, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we can take photos and post those.
So we appreciate you sitting through a rather disjointed but fun Minute Maid Gang podcast.
Yeah.
So
it's normally a little more structured. But.
Oh, and I know Tim loves to hear this, but I didn't want to go by without saying thanks very much for all of the participation in Mobile March last week. We had a fine turnout, and thanks very much. And just as a follow-up, resources from that event are now online at mobilemarchtc.com.
Yep.
So our
slide decks,
slide decks,
coding, we'll have videos rolling up, things like that from the sessions. That's online.
And I should mention, I loaned my video camera and some cords and a tripod and stuff to Phil. And if you ever do that, just expect that the nicely wrapped cords will come back in a gigantic rat's nest of...
Shit, I did forget to do that. Sorry about that, Steve.
I lost 6 seconds of my life wrapping that cord back up.
6 seconds to use. That's precious. I know.
No, it was great. And by the way, next time, format the card because, boy, there was some stuff on there.
Yeah, well. It was a free video.
All right. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Another Minute Maid Gang podcast.
Adios.